Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Has been around college football and won a national championship with LSU. He's new to Kansas, and that's just, you go right down the list, a lot of new coaches.
Four new coaches in the Big 12, for instance, overall. And let's just real quick talk about the first week of college football. I think our takeaway, all of us, is that when you see these games where a James Madison is playing, which actually I didn't know they were picked to win. I knew they were good. They almost beat West Virginia, one of the teams that we'll be talking about today, as our guests are Vic Koning, the defensive coordinator for West Virginia, and Ben Lieber, the Fox Sports analyst, who at one time K-State and NFL linebacker. He'll have the call of the K-State game. But these FCS teams, especially at the very top, the ones who compete for championships, there are no pushovers, and they usually, on every Saturday that they'll be involved with these teams early in the season, one, two, three of them will win.
Yes, I think that was the biggest theme of week one. The sub-theme, after watching a little bit of NFL, is that they don't need preseason. The college football teams are pretty ready to play when the season started. Maybe Florida and Miami were not ready. But other than that, there was quality football play last week, and I thought the theme, without a doubt, is it doesn't matter what the name is on your team's jersey or when people talk about you, you can play football. And especially teams in the FCS, we talk about this, teams that know how to win in football don't get their will broken. And they are hard out. Look at Iowa State, picked third in the conference in the Big 12. Pretty much everyone agrees that why not third place? And Northern Iowa was just as good as they were, down after down after down at Iowa State. The Cyclones come out winners, but West Virginia had to fight like crazy to beat James Madison. Don't forget, a big story here with K-State is Nichols is good, Danny. Everyone's forgetting it because K-State dominated the game, but that's a compliment to K-State. Nichols is good. They did a good job. The Big 12 had a lot of games that were close, and we learned a lot about these FCS schools and lower-level schools, but at the end of the day, the Big 12 went undefeated. It doesn't happen very often. They won all of their games last week, so it's a notable item, but really the competition level was what I noticed.
And evidence of that, before we take our first time out, Kansas, down for down, Indiana State looked every bit as good, if not better, than Kansas, but Kansas got the win. That leaves them feeling good heading into today's game.
Yeah, the win's the key thing, and the way that they almost lost it would have been the biggest punch in the gut. I mean, you'd have felt like Charlie Weiss was coaching or David Beatty. Kansas, with an interception return early, had the lead. We're in good situation, but that missed PAT early, you come back and think, did that haunt us later? And then you lose a turnover near your own end zone, and suddenly you're behind by 1 point. Indiana State has the lead. Again, they're not a bad football team either. They made a couple of mistakes, but now Kansas is in big trouble. And if you want to try to upset someone like Kansas, you get the lead with about 4 minutes left in the game, shock them, and get out of there. So I think everybody who was monitoring the game said, uh-oh, KU's going to lose again. And then for Carter Stanley to have the guts at that point to drive the team down and win a game, that is hard. And it is hard in the face of everything that's going on to drive that team down. So that was a big win, big game for them to get underneath their belt. A heck of a feather in the cap for the head coach, Les Miles, didn't blink. And for the quarterback, Kansas just needed a win. They got it. Don't look backwards. Now it's time to look forward. And the team that's only been a school at the FBS level for 2 years is coming into town. And it was a big win for KU, Danny. Every win's hard, and that could have easily been a loss and a disaster. So KU's in good position, should have fun playing today.
More with Stan straight ahead, and we'll also obviously visit with our guests that we talked about before. Vic Koning, I got it wrong the first time I talked to him. Koning, the defensive coordinator of West Virginia, and also Ben Lieber. And we'll talk more about Missouri and some other things with Stan straight ahead as we rock and roll on College Football Game Day. Robert. Welcome back to College Football Game Day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I think you know who I am, but I'm not around as much as I used to be, so I'm Danny Klinkscale. You can find some of my work here, a lot of my work at DannyKlinkscale.com and the Reasonably Irreverent podcast. And you can check that out anytime you like. There's always a lot of stuff on there. And Stan Weber and I open up the football weekend with College Football Game Day right here on Sports Radio 810. And we finish up the college and pro football weekend on Danny and Stan's Football Weekend at the Reasonably Irreverent podcast at DannyKlinkscale.com. Interesting day of college football today. There is a high-profile head-to-head top 25 matchup today, as it will be LSU going against Texas, and that obviously is the high-profile game of the day and likely the game that has the most cachet. Texas A&M maybe can put a fight on Clemson, who's been more than a double-digit favorite all but a couple of games in the last few years. Besides that, many of the top 25 teams have what appears to be an easy time of it. Number 21 Syracuse, however, plays at Maryland. That might be a test for them, as we are rejoined by Stan Weber. Stan, what's the feeling in Manhattan, Kansas? And what do you think the fans, we've talked about this throughout the years, but opening the season with back-to-back 11 a.m.s, happy, sad, what's the up and down for fans that you talk to about the 11s?
Well, today's a very hot day. It's going to be more like it should be August/September, so I think the K-State fans are okay with getting here early. Maybe getting the first half in before the normal heat gets here. There's no problem being out there tailgating. The weather was great in the morning, so I think they're okay with it in this instance. They did actually play at night last week, Danny. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
It was burning hot. Normally, it was the best August 31st/September opener weather ever. We went on last week, Danny. I don't know what all you did last week, but you are great at the weather report and the enthusiasm for college football. Last week was maybe on the best day ever. And then in the 70s, and it did rain on August 31st, so the K-State fans came early, had a great time. They're going to do 11 o'clock this week and 11 o'clock next week at Mississippi State. But I think they're very, very excited. It's going to be a little bit more late arriving because it's hard to get everybody in basically at the same time. But there's a number of cars out here. The flags are flying. And I've seen so many kids. This is so encouraging to me, Danny. So many kids with good parents having their kids throw the football around out there. I mean, it's amazing how many footballs I see flying when I look out in the parking lot.
Yeah, the only bad thing about footballs flying in the parking lot is that not everybody has the accuracy that was exhibited by Skylar Thompson, and people really aren't paying attention to other people playing football. So it's pretty easy to get dinged on the head or the backside by a flying football, I would think.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. And one of the fun things that I do when I do have to walk the parking lot, I don't get to do it very often, but, man, usually my average is 2 football throws. Someone is willing to throw me the ball, and I'll throw it back. And the problem is, Danny, I may be the guy who's inaccurate now. That's what scares me, the suit coat on and walking around out there. So far, I've done okay. Most of the times, the kids are able to catch it. It's a lot of fun. But you mentioned Skylar Thompson. That's really the point. When quarterbacks around K-State's program have started for multiple years, usually by the time they get to their junior year and they are a starter in the past, they usually kick it in gear. Just take a giant leap. And that was true under Bill Snyder, and it was also true under Chris Klieman. You know, there's a lot of hairs to split, and a lot of people look at the difference in what's going on today with Skylar Thompson and just saying, oh, that's the reason why he blossomed. I want to be careful about that because he actually blossomed because he is a third-year starter. It also helps that he's not in a battle. Quarterbacks, Danny, I don't think they like being in battles. It's a lot easier when you know you're the first stringer, you know you're in the backup. You know, you look at Drew Brees and Chase Daniel. Look at those guys with the New Orleans Saints, you know, a few years ago. They worked so well together because Chase Daniel knew his role. He wasn't trying to beat him out. He was trying to help him get better. And that's a lot easier for a quarterback. Alex Delton started last week for TCU as a grad transfer. He was battling for playing time last year with Skylar Thompson, and they both were looking over their shoulder. And that doesn't mean the coaching was bad because coaches believe we want competition. I'm not blaming the coaches. It's just not so easy. To know that he's the guy and Alex Delton has moved on is probably better for both of them. Skylar really has grown up, but this offensive system has so much diversity just in these what we'll call line changes, like hockey line changes. Danny, K-State ran in about 6 receivers, 3 tight ends, 2 fullbacks, and 2 running backs in on the first series of the game last week. I mean, that is Courtney Messingham, the offensive coordinator, Chris Kleiman, the head coach, football from North Dakota State, is bring a lot of players ready to play, make them interchangeable, and that's what K-State did. And it just takes a lot of knowledge from the quarterback. So Skylar Thompson's being treated a little bit like he's a pro quarterback. Like, you're a guy. You've got to be the orchestrator of a big positional group here, because there's a lot of players coming in, a lot of players with no experience, and Skylar's taking it to it well. But what excited me, Danny, and I have to see it to believe it. I don't just project, oh, so-and-so is going to be good because they're a junior or they're a veteran or the coaching staff changed or they have more confidence. I want to see it on the field. And Skylar's delivery of the football, the delivery away from the defender into the fingertips of his offensive players, was almost flawless. I mean, he could have been 20 for 22 in the game. He only had one throw all game that was uncatchable, and it was a long pass on first down that you always want to overthrow if anything. So he didn't even make a mistake there, but nothing close to an interception, excellent throwing, accuracy from Skylar. That's a big question today. If you want to watch, Danny, is that the new Skylar Thompson? Can he replicate that game after game after game? If he does, we're going to have to rethink about the Wildcats being picked ninth in the Big 12 Conference.
Real quick, before we move on to, I think, a little more intriguing subjects, not that K-State isn't, but they won handily and are likely to do so today. But how likely? Bowling Green did wax Morgan State last week, but Morgan State's one of the worst football teams in America. Jeff Sagarin rates them 250th. And he ranks all the Division I teams, including FCS and FBS, and there's only 256 of them. When you watch a tape, and I know you do, because I'd see it laying around on your desk when we go and do our podcast, did you see anything? Could you read anything into Bowling Green's game against such a hapless opponent?
It was very hard. As usual, Danny really described it well. I don't think you can take a lot from what happened strategically in the ball game. They were never pressed. Bowling Green outgained their opponent by 550 yards, the greatest differential in yardage in Bowling Green State history, as they put up 620 yards and Morgan State only had 70. So you said it well, Danny. I didn't learn a lot, but we can put a couple things together here. They have a very good core of running backs. They love to run the football. Andrew Clare, a running back, is a guy that's had 7 career 100-yard games. He's good. The quarterback, Darius Wade, is a lefty, strong. He came from Boston College. So he was at Boston College last year. So you start saying, what I saw on tape, you go, that's probably legitimate that he can play because of what he's done in the past. They had a good tight end, Quentin Morris. But this game is more about the coaching staff. Okay, Scott Leffler was an old Michigan quarterback. Okay, and Scott Leffler has come to Bowling Green after being an offensive coordinator at Boston College. But listen to this, Danny. Get ready. This is the kind of young coach you may be hearing about later. Scott Leffler, 3 years offensive coordinator at Boston College. 3 years before that, Virginia Tech under Frank Beamer. The year before that, offensive coordinator at Auburn. The year before that, offensive coordinator at Temple. The year before that, 2 years at Florida. He coached Tim Tebow, and Urban Meyer was the head coach. He was the quarterback coach for the Detroit Lions for 1 year, and for 6 years he was the quarterback coach at Michigan, and one Tom Brady played under him and is quoted as saying he really likes what Scott Leffler did. And it doesn't stop there. Offensive coordinator is Terry Malone. This guy has been an offensive coordinator at Michigan for 9 years when they won a national championship. He was a tight ends coach for 9 years with the New Orleans Saints. Think about that. I just mentioned Drew Brees, right? They won the Super Bowl in 09. So he went back and got a coach like Terry Malone on the offensive side. His defensive coordinator, Brian Van Gorder, has been a defensive coordinator in the NFL for the Atlanta Falcons for 5 years. He has brought in very good coaches, and he's got a great resume. He moved around a lot, Danny. It's his first head coaching job. So here's what I know about Bowling Green. Don't know what they're going to do strategically, but they're well-coached. They believe in themselves. And K-State better be ready, because it's not last year's Bowling Green. They have a chance with confidence and good coaching to be dangerous today.
The most important game for our three area teams certainly has got to be Missouri's. They have yet to hear from the NCAA, so they're playing on spirit and want to win a bunch of games, and they were supposed to win a bunch of games at the start of the season, and then as an 18-point favorite, they went out and got beat by Wyoming, and while they gained a bunch of yards and easily outgained Wyoming, they also made some very bad plays, allowed almost 300 yards rushing on the ground, which is the only way you can allow rushing, by the way, and you're looking at a situation here where, to me, you know, West Virginia's probably going to have a step-back season. Dana Holgorsen seems to have taken leave of the team right when they were about to hit a flat spot. But Missouri just got to win this game, period, or their spirits are going to be down. They'll have the feeling they don't necessarily have anything to play for. So this is a really, really important game for Mizzou.
Yeah, it just multiplied in importance. I was going to be excited about the game no matter what to see a Big 12 team, Neil Brown, who is so successful at Troy. You mentioned Vic Koning, a buddy of mine who's a defensive coordinator with Neil Brown at Troy. He's moved over to West Virginia. He does a very good job. So they'll be battling Mizzou today as a kind of non-conference game I love. But they're using Austin Kendall, the old Oklahoma transfer. It's like the NFL free agency. Austin Kendall, the old Oklahoma quarterback, plays for West Virginia. But that's all we're going to talk about West Virginia for right now, because we'll talk to Vic Koning later. The story's about Mizzou. What are they right now? The team that we expected to go 6-7, 8-0 is already 0-1. They played at 7,000 feet. Did that matter, the altitude? Was it because things went so well so early? It dominated the first quarter and led 14-0 and then let their guard down. But I know this, Danny. There's still some things that Kelly Bryant's got to do, avoid mistakes. He threw for a ton of yards, 423, but he can't fumble, can't throw interceptions in the red zone. I assume he'll fix that in Missouri offense. I'm not worried about that. The question is the defense, Danny. What do we have on our hands? Wyoming burst two plays in a row of 60-plus yards, a 75-yard touchdown that turned the game upside down, and I was not impressed with the pursuit angles and the point of attack defense by the Tigers. When the day was done, Wyoming ran for 297 yards and averaged 7.1 yards per carry. So Missouri.
Yes, Stan, but we heard the old song from their defensive coordinator, which we used to hear back in the days when the Chiefs, the time about 10 years ago where the Chiefs defense was first bad. Ryan Walters said, well, you take away those two long runs and they didn't run for much. No, they only ran for 190 and 5 yards a carry besides that. I mean, that's one of the worst things that defensive coaches who've just had a bad day say. But anyway, yes, they did allow two bad plays. Missouri also, two turnovers inside the five and another touchdown. I mean, but Kelly Bryant does have a bit of a history, you know, while he wasn't losing any games because he was playing for Clemson, of making head-scratching mistakes. And you know, he's playing for Missouri now. He's got to clean that up.
Yeah, you know, he got basically replaced after four games with Clemson last year. Don't forget that. He only lost two games in his career, and they went with Trevor Lawrence, the young guy. So that's why he's available. You're getting used to what he needs to do at Missouri. There's a lot more pressure. At Clemson, you had so much room for error. You make a mistake, the coach comes over, yells at you, makes you feel like you're, you know, belittles you or whatever, and then you kind of go, yeah, whatever, the defense just stopped them three plays and out, we go back out there. I mean, that's Clemson football. You don't have to be great down after down. But at Missouri, you're carrying the load, man. He needs to call Drew Locke up again and say, now what exactly is it like to have the whole university and all the fans riding on your shoulders and making plays all the time? Well, that's where he is right now. He's going to have to get it done, clean up his game. But offensively, I think they should be fine. Barry Odom is a coach who has been here before. Like I said, of the local games, the three local games around here, six coaches, five of them in their first year at the schools, really trying to prove themselves, including at West Virginia. Barry Odom's the veteran. And Barry's been unbelievable at turning around the momentum when things haven't looked good at Mizzou and just spitting in the face of criticism and doubt and making it happen. Well, today it has to happen because there is plenty of doubt for those Mizzou fans driving over to Columbia right now listening to this. They're not like, oh, everything's fine. You know, we're going to be 7-1 now instead of 8-0. There is plenty of criticism. No one in the Mizzou Nation that I heard from or talked to thought that they were going to lose to Wyoming. And you got to be careful. We didn't have a show last week, but I would have said, be careful disrespecting Wyoming. They've got a very, very good coach and a feisty attitude. But still, I thought Missouri would win the game. Mizzou needs to win as bad as any team in the country. They have to win. You cannot lose a home game. And you can't spit at West Virginia and act like they stink. Yeah, they've had some transfers. Yeah, they've had some guys go to the NFL. But, Danny, West Virginia is a team that posts 7 to 9 wins every year, even in Big 12 conference play. This is a legitimate opponent coming in. You can't just laugh and expect it to be easy. So I think one important thing is going to be Missouri fans sticking with the club. If it's close midway through the second quarter, don't panic. You know, if you win by one touchdown, you beat West Virginia. Today's a day like Kansas last week. Don't put expectations on Missouri that they need to be some big, strong SEC team and fight for the SEC East title. Don't put that on them today. A win of any type over a team like West Virginia is what the doctor ordered for this ball club. Just win today. Respect your opponent. It's a big-time Big 12 team coming in.
Let's turn to Kansas now as they'll play the evening game, and it should be an absolutely beautiful evening in Lawrence. I am going to Lawrence this evening. I am not going to the football game, but so I'll have to watch it later. But
well, the day's not over. You might slide over to the stadium. Don't ever write it off yet.
I will guarantee you, I will not be sliding over to the stadium, and it has nothing.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that I don't want to watch the football game. Believe me,
it's family responsibility.
Yes,
being a good dad.
Yes, no, it's not anything to be. My daughters are both gone now. They live far away, so my younger.
Oh, you're just being a good husband today.
Yeah, good husband and a good brother-in-law. That's what I'm doing today.
Oh,
so,
wow,
yeah,
that's
yes.
really extra credit
anyway,
right there.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, it should be a beautiful evening in Lawrence, and. Coastal Carolina comes to town. Kansas really didn't play well in the game against Indiana State. There's just no other way to say it, but they won. And I'm not going to say they couldn't win playing the same way against Coastal. Coastal's probably not as good as Indiana State. But you just like to have today be a game where they handle business early, there's never any drama, and they get themselves a win. Now, a win's a win at Kansas. Hey, you don't quibble when you're a Kansas Jayhawk football fan. But still, it'd be a little nicer to not have to drive the field in the last minute to win the game.
Well, no doubt about it. And I think that you know they're going to be limited at quarterback. When you have Carter Stanley, you have the positive of what I believe is a kid that has supreme confidence in himself, believes he's really good, and you want him to believe he's really good. That's how he drove the team on that last possession for a touchdown after just losing the ball and allowing a touchdown from Indiana State. It takes someone who kind of just thinks they're good, and I think Carter Stanley gives them that. But down after down, he's not going to dictate the game, Danny. He's not that reliable as a passer or runner, so they've got to get their running game going. The question is, how much of a difference will Puka Williams make? He was suspended last week. He'll be back. He's a dynamic player. I'm sure Les Miles is going to have intricacy in the offense. That means screen passes and little ways to get Puka the ball, maybe throw the ball out of the backfield with an NFL-type style. I think they're going to keep it easy. They have a good running back, I think, in Khalil Herbert. He's one of the most underrated players in the Big 12. He averaged 5.2 yards a carry last week, but he's the only thing they really had going for them. So Kansas is going to have to rely on the running game, going to have to find ways to get the ball into open space for Puka Williams. And really against Coastal Carolina, they have a real chance. This team, at this time of year, is a tough time, okay, for Coastal. They got a head coach who was a coordinator last year, so he knows about the school. But they're on the South Carolina border.
Right.
And right by the ocean there, Danny, and I think Myrtle Beach area.
Mm-hmm.
Second year in a row, they've got to leave their campus for hurricane problems. You know, they haven't practiced. Now, the question is, did they learn anything from the Clemson Tigers? Do you realize Coastal Carolina practiced at Clemson a little bit this week? So it's been a tough deal for them with their families, with their university, not being at home, only in their second year as a full-fledged member of the FBS. You know what you call this, Danny? Perfect scheduling, right? You want to play a team like Coastal Carolina, and people might think, well, I've never heard of them. Are they NAIA? No, they're FBS. Big time.
Yeah, they won the College Baseball World Series a couple of years ago. So this is a program on the rise.
It's a perfect opponent, Danny. You can say it's an FBS opponent, not FCS like Indiana State, and they're not used to winning. You know, you want to watch some players for Coastal. Sterling Johnson is a transfer from Clemson. He wears number 6. He's a defensive tackle. What kind of factor will he be? The running back is pretty good. Maribel and you know, they'll try to rely on him a little bit. Fred Payton, the quarterback, has started some last year. This year they threw the ball a lot in their spread offense the first week. So we'll see. It's up. It's totally up to Kansas. If things go the way they should, you described it pretty well, Danny. Yes, a win's a win, and we'll never spit on that to be 2-0, first time since 2011 for KU. But the fact is, this is the type of game you ought to win by 17 or 20 points. Just slowly, like a boa constrictor, just slowly take the air out of Coastal Carolina and remind them, you guys have had a distracting week. You haven't been home in a while. Hopefully everybody's safe back on the ocean front. But you can't play football with Kansas, and we're just better than you, and just solidly go out and win the game. That's what KU should be able to do today.
Coastal Carolina lost to Eastern Michigan last week. They did do a good job against the run and have some active linebackers, so we'll see. Kansas should be able to get the running game going, but that would be a little bit of a problem if they didn't. I want to talk a little bit about Les Miles before we take our next time out. And you know, I listened to his coach's show the other day. He's really the kind of the opposite of what you would think when a man is called the Mad Hatter, and he's an actor also. He's done a lot of acting. He's understated, quiet, kind of almost meek sometimes, and in media settings, he sometimes says some very strange things. He does some strange things, not just eating grass. He's decided that the winning tune they'll play after games at Memorial Stadium in the heart of Kansas is New York, New York. Now, his explanation of it, it makes some sense. And so if you didn't hear it, this is what it was. He said the first time he ever went to New York, he was walking down the street and it was late morning and he wanted to have a glass of orange juice. So he bought some orange juice, and he said it was the best orange juice he ever had. And then another hour later, it was time for a little lunch. Ordered a sandwich. He said it was the best sandwich he ever had. So his realization, he said at that point, was that if you're going to make it in New York, you're going to have to up your game. So that was his message to his team. That's why they're playing New York, New York. But the sometimes lack of awareness that people in Kansas can't stand New York. So I wonder how they're going to embrace New York, New York being played after a game. It seems a little, well, it seems a little like Les Miles, doesn't it?
Well, after they win a Big 12 home game, they're all going to be singing it like they're Frank Sinatra. That's how it happens. Weird traditions, you know. Yeah,
right.
He's a heck of a dichotomy. He's all over the board. And one thing to keep in mind, he's in his early, mid to late 60s, not 45 years old. So he was always a little bit of a quirky guy, but you add the age in there and then you just keep wondering, like, is he on focus or is he distracted? You know, what is going on with him? But they have that new series right on ESPN Plus, Danny, where they drop down some stuff about behind the scenes KU football. It's not Hard Knocks, but, you know, it's behind the scenes KU football. And the thing that I would say in my impression of seeing it, Danny, is I feel a lot better about Les Miles, not because he won a national championship at LSU. I'm talking about what he's saying, what he's doing. Still very quirky, his eating habits and things he does. He says some different things, but you know when he's at his best? Exactly when you want your football coach to be at the best. When he is in front of his team or
right.
on the field.
Mm-hmm.
When he is walking around the field, Danny, he comes to life. There's an energy, a purpose, and the things he says are not quirky at all. They're right on target. So don't evaluate a guy by the media. Oh, by the way, was Bill Snyder the perfect person in front of the media
no.
during his 30 years at K-State? No. It's what they do behind the scenes. And Les Miles has won a national championship. Even more importantly, he was successful at Oklahoma State, which is more relevant to Kansas. But I will say I can report with my instincts, Danny, I question and wonder what the heck's going on sometimes when I watch him in news conference settings or when I hear that he's playing New York, New York. Even the reason you said, I go, really? Really? But when he's with his players and what I've seen from behind the scenes, my thumbs are right up there. So, you know, it's what you do then, Danny, that matters. It seems like he is that coach that everyone expected, that great football coach. When he's got good assistant coaches, he lets them do their job. And he instills confidence. The biggest thing, Danny, we talked about your children and what a great father you are. The biggest thing I believe you need to do with those children at the age your kids are, 20s and a little bit younger, instill confidence. Make them believe in themselves. And Les Miles those players don't know about anything, but we believe in this guy. We think we're going to win, and that's what is needed. They need a confirmation, though. We can talk all day. You got to do it on the field. Carter Stanley did it on the field. Kansas did it on the field. So now, you know what? Kansas didn't go to class this week. The students didn't go to class. The football players didn't go thinking, oh, we barely won against Indiana State. No, they didn't think that way, Danny. They said, last week we won. We're on to week two. That's what winning and losing is about. It's not college basketball. We're going to win some, you're going to lose some, and you got plenty of time to work it out. You know, get back to me later. We're going to play 35 games. No, only 12 games. Everyone matters. It was a win. Les Miles is a coach. Kansas has a chance. When will they look at the coach and go, maybe you're getting a little bit old? Will they ever do that? It's what happens on the field that dictates it. They can't afford to lose to Coastal Carolina. Boston College has some good athletes, one of the best running backs in the country, a very good quarterback. It's not going to be easy to go on the road next week. So start counting up the wins, and this is the one, like we did with last week, a little premature. We had Missouri over Wyoming. Let's play the game. We got Kansas over Coastal Carolina, but they got to go out and prove it. And if they're 2-0, their heads are going to be held high and think they got the greatest coach in the world, and that's good for KU.
Stan Weber, we start another year of College Football Game Day. And up next, our first guest of this particular year, Vic Koning, the defensive coordinator for West Virginia. They're just over an hour away from taking on the Missouri Tigers. Welcome back to College Football Game Day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is our pleasure right now to be joined by defensive coordinator for West Virginia, Vic Koning, long time.
Star-Lord's Vic Koning.
Vic Koning, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it just depends on if you're talking about the KU Konings or the West Virginia Konings. That'll be interesting coming up here in a few weeks.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
How about you remembering Ken Konings? That's a good one.
Well, he's my neighbor.
I know.
And Vic was my roommate for a while. I should say he let me live in his basement for a while. That's a better way of saying it. We weren't roommates.
Yeah, that was...
he said, get down in the basement.
I sequestered you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Vic.
Don't bother me, but give me some money.
All right, here we go. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to College Football Game Day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is our pleasure to be joined by longtime defensive coach, one-time head coach as well, Vic Koning, now the defensive coordinator at West Virginia. Came along with Coach Brown and joined the West Virginia staff, a new regime. Got off to a winning start in your first game. And you know, we talked a lot, and Stan and I do a podcast together about the absolute importance, no matter how close a game is, of making it a win, and that just the drastic difference between a close win and a close loss, even if you were supposed to win the game more handily or whatever, you guys were able to get a victory in that game and come off the field happy and hold the football up to the fans and everything else, rally to get the win, and that was really important for your squad.
Well, and West Virginia is a unique place, and we got to sing a little John Denver song with the fans. After the game, they sing Country Roads, and so that was a good deal. JMU's a really good football team. I'd be surprised if they lose another game this year. I know they're preseason pick one or two in the country, in the 1AA, still called 1AA era. But anyway, the good team. Quarterback did a really good job, ran better than I thought that he would be able to. So we had to really hang on, but we were able to come away with the victory.
Now, Vic, are you on the sideline or are you up in the booth right now?
Well, I'm on the sideline. Yeah.
So
I've been in the booth for two games and I was 0-2. So I said I wasn't going to be 0-3. So I made the move.
So you're down there with Neil Brown. You guys had great success at Troy. I mean, 10-win seasons, and were just a big factor. Went to Nebraska and won last year, for instance. So if you haven't heard Neil Brown's name, he is doing a great job as a coach, moved to West Virginia, and Vic Koning's been his loyal defensive coordinator now for a while. Before you get away, did Neil's new tradition, did you guys wait and stand there and sing the song with him? I mean, it's a great scene when they sing the West Virginia.
I don't know where he was. I was So I just stood out there and kind of halfway watched. I did grow up listening to John Denver, going to his concerts and stuff, so I did know the words of the song. I probably voiced them a little bit, but I just kind of watched because it was first time for us to, you know, to get to experience that. So it's a neat tradition, and we need to do that as often as we can.
Now, so many of our worlds collide, Danny. It's pretty amazing. Vic was a big-time linebacker at K-State in the first bowl ever, the bowl game before Bill Snyder got there in 1982. Vic, wearing number 24, was my teammate and a big, strong guy. Then he went on in coaching. Guess where he was a head coach? You mentioned head coaching, but it was at Wyoming,
right,
which is where Missouri just came from. You're getting ready to play in Columbia today, the Missouri Tigers, and it's not your first time. I mean, you've been there. You think of them. You mentioned 1AA. I know you think of them as a Big 8 school.
Right.
So what is it like?
I was going to say, Coach, Wyoming didn't really do you any favors, did they, by beating Missouri?
Well, I know. Just made them angry. watching that game, it brought back some memories. I saw the 7,200 feet above sea level kind of factor in a little bit, especially with the tempo that Missouri plays at. I'm fully aware of what that can do. I watched a bunch of teams, you know, fall prey to the altitude, and so I know it's a real deal there. But they have done some upgrades since I was there, and they, you know, Wyoming played really hard. And you could tell at Missouri that the altitude was a big factor in the game.
All I know is that I hit a 6-iron 165 or so yards and on a 180-yard hole in that town 2 years ago. I blew one 30 yards over the green. So
it's a real deal now.
No doubt
it's
about
a
that.
Real deal. You really have to put that into effect. Plus, the wind's always blowing. And so.
We're talking to Vic Cunning. He's a defensive coordinator today for West Virginia as they play a really cool non-conference game at Missouri. A lot at stake for both these teams trying to find their way. And we talk about big time. Kelly Bryant only lost two games at Clemson. He's played in big, big games, threw for more yards than Drew Locke did anytime last year in that first game, but had a couple of mistakes as well for Missouri. What do you think when you evaluate Kelly Bryant? What's the key for his success, or from your point of view, trying to slow someone down that's this good?
Well, Missouri, you know, it's just not Kelly Bryant. They've got really quality running backs. They've got a massive offensive line. Early in the game, and at times in the game, the wide receivers look like they were shot out of cannons. They can really run. The tight end is not the best. One of the best couple tight ends in the country. So offensively, they're a very potent, talented group. I can look over here on my board, and you know we've got in my ready list board, and there's like 50 different formations that we've had to prepare for, and the last year they were in the upper 80s on number of plays, so they will play with tempo, but they're 50-50. So you can't just play the passing game. Kelly is, he's a big old athletic guy that can avoid the rush. I know there was one play against Wyoming on the goal line where they had him and he made a safety miss and was able to convert for a touchdown. He gets out of the pocket and, you know, normal guys just can't catch him. Like any quarterbacks, they get into rhythm, and they have him. You know, I would say take some of that what I call easy access throws, the deals where he sees one on one. You know, he's going to take the fade shot, so the quicks. So he's well coached. There's really not too many weaknesses on their offense.
I always ask longtime defensive coaches this question because we live in a world now. You played a game last week where your defense allowed 13 points, and that's like none back in the day, but some days against certain opponents, you know, 31 is a good day at the office, or 34 is a good day at the office. How have you learned to adapt to that, keep your players up when, you know, maybe a team storms down the field? Now Wyoming, for instance, did a pretty good job of that. They get stomped in the first two drives, and then were able to slow Missouri for a while as they got ahead in the game. But what's your attitude, and how do you transmit that attitude to your players when it's not about, you know, three and outs anymore necessarily?
Well, you know, I've been with guys that had some NFL backgrounds and stuff, and, you know, sometimes they just say, hey, play great red zone. So if they get some yards and get down, that happened last week against JMU. You know, we blocked a field goal and then held them to field goals on a couple of drives where they got down in our territory, which was the difference in the game. I don't take it real well. I know if y'all have seen the Prilosec commercial where the head just explodes and purple stuff comes flying out, I don't want to give up anything. You know, we got us – they had 12 sacks here last year. We had 4 and should have had 8 in the first game. So, you know, we should have had 8. That's the way I look at it. I'm always trying to get more, trying to do better. That's just me. I do know I'm going to have to cool my jets because there's going to be times, you know, the number one goal we have is just win, whatever it takes, WIT. You know, we win, then that's, you know, now it doesn't mean that I take it well. But, you know, it's way better than playing your butt off on defense and losing because that's no good. So you just kind of try to keep your senses about you. I'm probably better at it now than I used to be, but I'm not good at it. So that's not a take.
He sounds very calm, like he's really good at this, but he's not nearly as good as he sounds. You know, the calm before the storm.
I was gonna say, in this environment, you mentioned the 4 sacks and you should have had 8. Are you inclined maybe to be more aggressive in going after the passer because negative plays can be so important in putting the other team into more difficult down and distance situations, because holding a team to just under 10 yards in 3 plays is often very difficult?
Well, you know, it's a double-edged sword. When I talk to my dad after games, and they're able to watch most games, they're down in Oklahoma still, but he always said, well, you should have blitzed or should have done that. It's always the answer is blitz. And blitzing is not really a panacea with today's college football, and the average ball comes out in 2.6 seconds, and you can be free. You can be wide open on your pass rush and still not get to the quarterback in time. So you got to be able to cover. If you're blessed to have defensive backs that can cover man-to-man and win in those battles, then sure, blitzing sounds great, and it often works. But, you know, offensive coaches, especially nowadays, they've got more formations, more plays. It's crazy the number of looks that you have to prepare your players for. And so, you know, we need to do what we do better than they do what they do. We have, over the last few years, kind of been an outside-in defensive team, and that we're going to play a 5-man box a lot and try to defend the pass and then converge on the run. But we do try to pressure, and we do move about every snap. So it's going to be interesting how we handle their big offensive linemen. Will they tighten their splits down? You know, that's things we've seen. So there's going to be a lot of adjustments probably having to be made during the game.
Plus, when you blitz, the quarterbacks are so much more calm. They say, oh, okay, I can get rid of the ball. I got an answer, and he might be open. Where we used to panic when we saw an extra guy or two and put our head down and start running. So it's hard work.
Bring that up. Stan Weber would just tuck the ball in and take off running. And to be candid, that's what JMU's quarterback did last week. When he saw a man, he just took off running, and once he crossed the line, you know, he was able to run for a while. So we've got to do a really good job, or way better job than we did last week, of not letting the quarterback just take off running, or you know, because man will kill you if the quarterback escapes.
We're talking to Vic Koenig, defensive coordinator, West Virginia. They get ready to play Missouri here in just a little bit, and hopefully your dad will be here from Oklahoma and he can yell from the sideline during the game what suggestions he has for you. But you mentioned a lot of things, your strategies and so forth. To fill in the blank, you were at Troy with Coach Brown, who's now gone to West Virginia. You guys had great success. You have a philosophy. You're trying to implement it now. But you're doing it with your players wearing the gold and blue of West Virginia. If we're watching this game, or Missouri fans on their way over there, if you have some success, which player or two will be most likely to make those plays? You know, who's a feature guy or two on your defensive side, and maybe a number so that people can watch out for them as they prepare for this game?
Well, we're going to play. We're going to try to play up to three deep in a lot of positions. You know, this is a non-conference game. You know, I don't think we're in the title hunt just yet. Doesn't mean that we're not competing to win every game. We kind of take the games one at a time. We want to be 1-0 this week. So we're going to play a lot of guys. 35 is our Will linebacker. You know, he led the team in tackles last week. He was the spring MVP. Our front guys are
Josh
probably,
Chandler. Josh Chandler is his name.
Yes, sir. Our front guys are probably our most competitive guys. We're playing a bunch of young guys in the secondary, so that's going to be, you know, that's going to be interesting how we hold up back there. So that's, you know, I'm trying to think of guys that are just outstanding, dynamic guys, and you know my history, so you know I've had a good share of them. But I think our guys are going to be more blue collar, play hard, get a bunch of guys to the ball. We're going to have to be more of a team defense than probably some that I've had.
I did want to ask you about, you mentioned that you coach from the sidelines and you lost a couple games, and of course you decided that that's not for me. It would seem to a...
Well, he was in the press box.
Yeah, while I was in the press box. It would seem to a, you know, person who doesn't coach football like me that it would be a better perspective to be in the press box rather than the mayhem that you see from the sideline, and you'd have that upper view. Tell me the positives you think it brings to be on the sideline, because it's somewhat split as far as people's attitudes to it.
Well, I think that there's pluses and minuses. Like you said, I do know that you can see the picture better. You got to trust your coaches.
Mm-hmm.
We've got guys in the box that are looking at inside run, guys looking at outside run, guys looking at pass, guys looking at this, look at that. I just want to be able to look in a guy's eye. Mm-hmm. If he's got that far away look, to try to get him out of it. If somebody's rattled, I need to know it. If I got to make adjustments, then I've got to make the adjustments. So it's I just sometimes think it's better for me to kind of be the pulse, be the heartbeat, be the, I don't know, to be who I've always been, to say it in a candid way, and you know better than anybody, than most people.
I lived with this guy. I know what that means.
So
a younger version, though. You're calm now. You're super calm now. You're real grown up. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, well.
And you don't hit as hard as you used to when you used to slap us around.
I'm a lot daggum older, and my hair is turning gray. When I go to the barbershop, they do a great job of just cutting the gray hairs out. That's all I've seen on the floor. But, I mean, it's just a better feel for me. Mm-hmm. I tend to see a lot of stuff. This is getting to be 30-some-odd years of this, and so it's been a while. And then I know how to fix, because we built this. You know, there's a couple of coaches that have been with me for 4 or 5 years now, but we built this package, so I know how to adjust it if something's not working. So
the real adjuster that you're with, last comment here, we didn't talk about Neil Brown, head coach. He's an offensive guy who's involved in calling the plays and everything else. You know where he wants to be. We're not talking about that. Let's just talk right now where West Virginia's offense is now. What? Just a quick summary.
Well, I tend to keep my lane. I'm staying in my lane, and I don't cut other people's grass.
Okay. Well, Neil Brown's as a head coach then.
I'll talk about Neil. Neil is extremely smart. He's one or two people that I've ever met that can read something and remember it verbatim, word for word. Very work ethic oriented. I don't know that I've ever been with anybody that works harder than he does. I used to have a mantra that I was gonna, that they were gonna see me when they walked in and see me when they leave. I can't do that with Neil, because he works unbelievable hours and works so hard and tries to do right by everybody, which is always hard to do, especially as a head coach. He knows he's one of those guys also that things just come to his head and ideas and plans, and it seems like we've got a different offense. I know I have to play him against him in practice. We've got, like, different offenses almost every week. So it's he's got a lot of weapons on our team. I don't think that they feel good about the way they played last week. We've got to be able to run the football and convert. And, you know, I think we've got some wide receivers that that are pretty talented. We have to get them the ball and rhythm. And I think that there was a lot of communication issues last week where the routes weren't exactly like they needed to be from what I heard. So,
yeah.
You know, like I said, I stay in my lane and cut my own grass. I tend to know that if I take care of my issues, that's all. I got a full plate.
Well, I now have a new phrase because I've never heard I stay in my own lane and cut my own grass. I don't cut other people's grass. That's perfect. I love it. Coach, we really appreciate you taking the time.
It's a big game today. Thanks for spending time with
us. It is a big game. And the last time I went to Missouri, somebody dumped a coat over the rail on me when I was walking on the field. So I had a real sticky game. I do remember that. It's a tough place to play. It's an early game. I hope everybody just decides to, you know, stay home, but I know that's not what...
Hopefully they're listening to us, and you're saying they're late. Hopefully they're driving and listening to us and might not make kickoff because we're on from 9 to 11. So,
yep. All right, Coach.
Thank you, Vic.
Thanks a lot for the time. There's Vic Koenig, the defensive coordinator for West Virginia, and he's a man who does not cut other people's grass and a longtime excellent defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I actually lived with him, and I was in the basement and unfortunately had a big old cast and was in my own little world, and it's true. I mean, we live like two separate lives. he truly just respected, he'll do his thing and let you do your thing, and easy guy to get along with, was big and strong and could hit people, was a great linebacker. But now, as a longtime coach, been through a lot, and he and I have talked a lot over the years because Neil Brown's a lot different than him. Vic's a defensive guy, ex-head coach. Neil's kind of brainiac. Hardworking, more young. I mean, often right. Young and have different ideas. And so they kind of, first of all,
balanced
looked at
each other
and clashed a little or said, I don't know. But being able to stay in his lane, he's proud to be able to stay in his lane because he had to earn his way for Neil not to get over there in the lane with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they've now made a good combination where Vic really does get to run that defense. Neil believes in him. We'll see what happens at West Virginia. Hey, I love non-conference games like this. I mean, this is a big game. No matter what, if Missouri would have blown Wyoming out, but now
it's
that
they
really
lost
that game, it's even bigger. So looking forward to K-State kicking off at 11 o'clock and Mizzou at the same time. In our local area, a couple of fun games to go right away.
Vic Koenig, the defensive coordinator at West Virginia, joins us on College Football Game Day.